Hey, Sean, would you mind actually just playing any kind of music to start, just for the heck of it?
Sure.
All right, so let's take a request. What song would you like to hear to start this off?
Stairway to Heaven.
On the Road Again.
Freebird.
Never played On the Road Again, but here. On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Can you play Faith by George Michael? Because it's one chord. It is one chord.
That's right.
Well, I guess it would be nice if everybody could touch your body. I know not everybody got a body like mine. Or is it yours? I don't know.
Okay, that's great. We're going to do it now. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon Podcast. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
And we have special guest from the Critical Hit Show. We've got Eric, I think his name is, I don't know, Fell?
It's Eric Fell.
Eric Fell is here. If you clap, it makes things less awkward. That's normally the thing where...
Thank you, everybody.
And we are live at Cause and Effect.
Yes, we are.
We have scrabbled together a table that no one wanted us to have.
Yes.
We have taken it from a vendor upstairs who is upset that we took it.
I'm here in my pony costume. I know the listeners can't see me, but I'm sure the audience can, and it's very impressive, isn't everyone? Thank you. I shake my mane at you.
And Eric is cosplaying as a redhead.
I am cosplaying as Dash, the driver and main character of the award-winning series Space Cab.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You are part of a web series called Space Cab. Well played.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that down the road when people listen to this, they'll go, oh, it did win an award.
Look, listen, let me just tell you something about living in Canada. If you do anything in Canada for longer than 2 years, you will win an award. There is no, like, honestly, anything you do, you'll, like, come to your door and there'll be your bills and a Leo. It will happen.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yes, we won for cleanest door sill. Sneaky Dragon, if you look on the West Ender, cleanest dorsal. No? Okay.
That's right.
Cleanest dorsal fin.
That's what the joke needed.
Should I keep going?
Yeah, it was like,
it needed a fish reference.
Okay, technically a dolphin is not a fish. Let's all admit that much. It's a mammal.
But they do have fins.
They do, but you said fish.
I did say fish. I'm sorry, I was thinking of Abe Vigoda.
Welcome to Sneaky Lexicon.
And there we go. I thought we had the first person leaving, and I would not have blamed them at all.
No, nobody ever mentioned Abe Vigoda at a convention. That's what happens.
So to set the stage, we are sitting behind a rickety table that looks like it shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
There's three microphones that have nothing to do with each other.
That's
and
true.
Dave stole, apparently, a theater seat from some theater from the 90s.
I did.
And has dragged it here.
It has a table so I can do my midterm exam as well.
It's nice.
That's right.
Oh my God, it does. That's from the auditorium at North Delta Senior Secondary. I think I did my biology 12 final.
I
on that
did mine there too. Yeah.
I got beat up there. All right, that's great. So we all have nice memories of Delta.
I saw a highway of death there.
I just want to specify that it wasn't me that beat Ian up. I just want to.
It was me. I'll admit it.
No, you would have been 5, I think, when I was going to school. That would have been a very, even more painful memory. Now, why we're here, you might be asking. You're probably asking why you're here at this point. But why we're here is we're going to be doing a showing of the Critical Hit Show right after this podcast. This podcast is going to take about 45 minutes.
Yep. So it'll seem like an hour.
We're going to get through it, though. We're going to all get through it together.
Yep.
And then we're going to do the Critical Hit Show. Now, Eric, you are the creator of the Critical Hit Show. Why don't you let us know what the heck that is? I heard a woo. Why don't you let us know?
Absolutely. The Critical Hit... I'm not going to put my arms on this table, because...
No, it's thunder. We all become Thor, God of Thunder, when anything touches anything here.
It's like the T-Rex is coming.
Oh, my drink is moving a little bit.
Totally is.
Let me explain how chaos theory works.
Objects in the podcast are closer than they appear.
But the Critical Hit Show is a live epic fantasy comedy show based on role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons. And we've got some of Vancouver's best comedians playing the heroes. and we have our wonderful audience playing the villains and the monsters.
So what type of, say these folks who are in our audience right now would stick around, what would they possibly be playing in an average show? Not what they're going to play today, but like in an average show if they came to see us at the Rio Theater.
If they came to see us at one of our regular shows at the Rio Theater, they would play everything from local townsfolk, villagers.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You would play townsfolk.
Bring your own pitchfork.
I'm building adversaries such as goblins.
Uh-huh. How about kobolds?
Yes, there have been kobolds.
Gelatinous cubes.
There have been gelatinous cubes.
The rust monster.
Oh, that was tonight. I got to cut it down.
Sorry.
No.
What was it that we had this, like at our last show, we had the bunnies with the unicorn horns. What are those?
Yeah, those are called Al Mirage. I got this old book from 1981. What's happening up there? It's like Pikachu is just jumping over the seats. I found this book from 1981 called The Fiend Folio. It's this super old, advanced Dungeons & Dragons monster book. And it's all like the weird monsters. So I want to use like one of those in every show. So we had the Al Mirage. We had some people come up with bunny ears and unicorn horns.
Okay.
To fight our people. We had mad ghouls at the last one. And we also had the entire audience. We had 15 people come up and form a fire serpent. And we had 10 more people become a wall of ice to stop the fire. Were you part
of the ice wall? You never forget your time on the wall.
Yeah, that's right. Luckily, no one looked north of the wall. Because that's where the others are. The entire audience is included in this because that's the whole
idea. Have we ever had owlbears?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
We have had owlbears because every November, because this will be our second November doing it, we have Owlbear Life Day, which, of course, is based on Wookiee Life Day from the Star Wars Holiday Special.
So are owlbears like Wookiees, then, is that what you're saying?
Owlbears are the Wookiees of the Dungeons & Dragons world. According to me, and since I'm the Dungeon Master, I'm correct.
Yes. Now, I never played Dungeons. I played one game of Dungeons & Dragons when I was a young man. I used to do improv, and I felt it was too similar, and so I wasn't that interested in D&D. But both of you were D&D nerds in Delta.
What do you mean, nerds?
In a bad way. And I meant that not in a bad way.
When I went to school, playing D&D was like the coolest thing you could do. There was jocks at the bottom.
Jocks were always
then
at
nerds,
the bottom.
Then
jocks.
D&D players, right at the top. Yeah. At the school status totem pole thing.
I actually didn't. I played a little bit in junior high, like maybe for a couple months. I thought it was kind of cool. But I didn't touch it again until a couple years ago. And I was walking by a gaming store, and there was a bunch of people sitting at a table doing something. And I picked up, I just grabbed, oh, it was a Dungeon Master's guy, and I flipped it through. And I said, this is really similar to improv. This is, I could make a show out of this. And then I talked about it with Sean Stewart and Alan Morrison. And then the opportunity came up at the Rio, and Sean and I put together this format.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that fellow up, because I think he might be backstage. Would you mind introducing him and bringing him on board? And we'll have him join our little soiree here.
Ladies and gentlemen of Cause Effect, please put your hands together for the man, the myth, the magic.
You know what? Forget it. We don't need him. The point is...
You know what, Sean?
He was going to get to some embarrassing things from my past if I could let him go on there.
And those of you listening on the podcast, Sean is now sitting on a traffic cone. That was all that we had left in our Ricky Ticky Tacky.
And he's dressed as Pikachu.
I am dressed as Buddy from the award-winning web series Space Cab.
Whoa.
I don't know about you. Is this actually your costume from Space Cab?
This is my episode 2 costume, which we haven't shot yet.
Okay, this is actually my costume that
I wore. Are you sure it's not called Schmooze Cab?
Now, here's my question. So you change outfits between episode 1 and 2. You are the cab driver. Why is there a variety of outfits? Why are you doing that? Is that so when you make action figures, you can sell more of them?
Yes, it's for the inevitable action figure variant figures.
Like Batman with his Arctic suit and
fire
scuba gear, yes, which he's never, ever worn.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's because different episodes take place on different days.
No, you don't have a uniform then.
Okay, here's my
question. What we're trying to figure out is, does a space cab driver have a uniform? And you've answered it, no.
Well,
That means Space Cab is not going to be popular with this crowd. if you can't pick a thing that you're going to dress up as to be that guy.
Yeah, this is consistency, brother. Look at these outfits that are out here. This is consistency.
I have one outfit. I've only been in one episode. But if I come back, I will wear this shirt again. And if I don't have this shirt anymore, I will buy another one at Costco, which is where I got this one.
And don't forget to get a patch that says Buddy. You need that as well.
Yeah.
All right.
You do.
I've been told.
Marketing 101.
He's named after Willie Ames' character from Charles in Charge.
That's why I wear the same clothes every day. Marketing 101.
You're like Han Solo.
Exactly.
For those of you who aren't students here at UBC, David teaches a great course called Marketing 101.
That's right. And I only teach that class, and it's the same every time because Marketing 101. Okay.
But I want to go a little bit farther back and see if people got that reference. Who here knows Charles in Charge? Clap your hands. Terrible reference then. Terrible reference in this room.
Yes. They get worse as we get older. It's just like
it just happens.
You're just like everybody knows Mr. Belvedere because that was very popular when I was watching TV after
school.
He's
the Amos. I'm the Andy. That's the way that goes. So you're let's just switch to Space Cab for just a second, then we'll get back to D&D. Space Cab, what is the premise behind Space Cab? Besides, I'm guessing, space, and there is a taxi involved.
That is the entire thing.
Now, is there any similarity between DC Comics' Space Cabbie, the copywritten character that is trademarked by Warner Brothers, and your character?
I gotta go. I'm just a space cab driver in space. Like, it's just, the whole thing is entirely shot in the cab. Each episode is 2 minutes long, it's a different fare. And that's about it. The only difference is, or the only things that's the same is, I guess he drives a cab in space, but that's about it, really.
So the only thing that's the same is that it's a taxi driver driving a cab in space?
The only thing,
your lawsuit,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, the only thing that's the same is the basic premise and the content.
Have you heard of Legal Action Comics? It's a famous DC comic book.
Is that the new 52? Because I don't read that.
No, who would? Who would? Now, Sean, are you a D&D fellow? Were you when you were a young man?
I never was when I was younger because I was a church kid, and and I think my parents got convinced that it was a it was Satanist.
Well, there was that TV show. Remember, there was one.
Tom Hanks.
Was he in it?
Yeah,
and
Tom
he
Hanks
goes crazy because he's playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and he winds up at the World Trade Center. So now the show's just a bummer.
Right. And then he makes a wish and becomes a little boy. Is that how that one
goes? That's how it goes,
yes,
yeah.
And then he has sex with a mermaid at the end.
That's right. It's called Big Dice.
Wait. Okay.
And the weird thing is his best friend, the volleyball, is watching the whole time. Very awkward.
And then they all go to the North Pole.
Where there's a volcano.
And they both dress as women because they only allow ladies in. No one gets that one.
Wow. He's bugging people for Charles
in Charge. I almost went to bachelor party. I could have gone
that one guy who cosplayed as Peter Scolari just left.
But he was doing Peter Scolari on the Newhart show.
That's how obscure that was.
Sorry, everyone. That was even worse than Charles in Charge.
So your church was afeard that you would turn to the devil.
Yeah. That was the idea. Was, you know, if you play D&D, then you'll become obsessed with your character, and if your character dies, you'll kill yourself and everybody around you.
Wait a second. Let me just ask. Did that happen?
I don't think it ever did, except for maybe in some movie or something.
Yeah. No, in that movie, nobody even dies. No. He just goes crazy and goes wandering. And they just go, where's Tom Hanks? Oh, he's over there. And that's the movie.
So eventually, in my 30s, I started playing. I think it was like, I'm a math guy. Like, I'm studying math right now. And like, that's always been kind of my, you know, I've been good at math. And math!
Denominator!
When he says studying, he means peeping on math.
He's a math voyeur.
He's just a math creeper.
I go to the quarter math peeping shops at Granville Street.
Look at fractions.
But like it's always like...
Well, that's half a number.
Once I figured out what Dungeons & Dragons was and how it worked, I was like, this is great. But I had no friends who were into it, so I just never got to play until eventually I started playing with Eric.
Neat. And was it just the two of you starting off together? Now, I'm not saying that in a weird way.
You know what we did? We went to a store in Surrey, and called Craving for a Game. And I started playing there. There was a guy.
There was the store owners are here.
I sat down with a table full of strangers and I said, show me how to play D&D. And
please.
And most of them, yes, I said please, of course. But
he is Canadian.
Most of them were very nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's always the guys who aren't nice, aren't there?
Well, one of the guys introduced himself by pulling out a stack of cards of naked women and passing one to me and said, here you go. And I said, "I don't, no, thank you.
Okay, I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know what naked women are."
No, where was that guy when I showed up?
I know. I was thinking, like, that would be fantastic. If, say, you were a church kid, and you were going, like, I'm going to play some Dungeons & Dragons.
How bad could it be?
How sinful could this be?
Boom,
and it's like,
porn.
Well, here's your pornography, and let's get started.
Let's get out the booze. We're going to play a drinking game called Dungeons & Dragons.
Renounce your lord, and let's begin. What was the point of that? Like, how does that, like, just for,
it's
that's
to, it's to put you off and to show how cool he is.
I don't know. I saw
how old were you at this time?
This was 2 years ago. I didn't really learn D&D until about two and a half years ago.
So, sorry, how old were you then?
I was about 35.
Oh, 35, so you're slipping a pornographic playing card at a 35-year-old man. You can buy your own.
Like, that's check this out, buddy.
Wow, how old are you? You just said buy porn.
Look at this. She has breasts.
But it was, yeah, it was weird. Just about everybody else was super nice. And it turns out that, like, the one of the guys was like, went to kindergarten with my girlfriend.
It's a small world.
It is a small world.
It's a small world after all.
It is.
So this is for coincidence.
This is 2 years ago. So your girlfriend was in kindergarten at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Getting
if
really
there's
creepy.
Any law enforcement people here, my girlfriend is 28.
That's a callback to a joke that we used to do on our podcast.
And Eric always loved. An old favorite. Okay, so you started playing the D&D, and you started playing the D&D together. And then what made you think, were you at this point doing live improv shows? Because normally, where would we see you both doing improv aside from the Critical Hit show?
Well, at that time, we were both doing shows on Granville Island with the Vancouver Theatre Sports League. And but now, as soon as I picked up that Dungeon Masters guy, like, before I sat down to learn how to play it, I thought, this is an improv show. We could do this. Mm-hmm. And then that's why I wanted to learn it.
Right. And did you try pitching it then to that group first? Or did you say, I'm taking this my own and I'm making the big bucks?
We chatted about it, actually, on our podcast. And then I sort of held on to it. For an opportune time.
Because about 10 years earlier, I pitched the same show to them, and it was called Wizards and Lizards, because I went, you can't possibly say Dungeons & Dragons on your poster, or you'd get sued. But Eric, he fears no lawsuit at all. He'll just put it up there, Dungeons & Dragons. Isn't that copyright?
Space Cab.
To hell with you.
Yeah, my new show's called Star Wars.
With a Z.
What's that
with
about?
With a Z. And they went, people won't like this. And so they went down.
Unless it's called Wizards and Lizards Prov.
<That's>
so
right.
People know what it is.
That was your mistake.
The Prov is the bring in the end, yeah.
It's funny, when I played Dungeons & Dragons as a teenager, I never occurred to me that it could be an improv show. This never popped into my head. It's weird.
Well, you weren't a performer as such back then, though, right?
I was playing a paladin.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected, maybe.
Yes, you do,
I don't know
sir.
What the hell that means.
Weekly. I was a paladin.
I've heard paladins are generally jerks, by the way.
Does anybody out here play Dungeons & Dragons?
Okay, yeah. Very good.
Does anybody here play a paladin?
Fuck you!
All right, generally. It's a very anti-paladin room.
He looks like a total jerk, too.
Listen.
Sitting in the back like a big shot.
If you roll a character and all you have is strength, what can you do? Paladin. That's it.
Barbarian. Yeah, it's everyone at once.
I read books. I'm not playing a barbarian.
Barbarian. It's a paladin without all that moral high ground.
Maybe that's what I liked. I like being hoity-toity.
Yeah, the barbarians get to rage, which is nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, we've got a barbarian in our show,
My
right?
paladin
yes,
was
do.
Basically Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, Dave cosplays Jane Austen books.
Yeah, so that's...
That is so far from not being not true.
Wait, what does that mean? That felt like a test, a multiple choice test at college. What didn't happen when this did happen? What?
We do have a barbarian in our party.
Yep.
Her name is Edda, and she's played by Joanna Gaskell.
Yeah, when
she's been on the show.
She's playing a parallel character, not the same character.
She's not playing, that's correct.
But like as in the comics you had once upon a time Earth 1 and Earth 2, Superman who punches Hitler and Superman who punches Mao. We have that kind of situation.
You have Critical Hit Show A.
Yeah, that's right. And then you've got Standard
Critical Hit Show Z.
Well, yeah, you've got Standard Action, which is her web series.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Where she plays this a similar named character, but there are great differences between the two. And what's one of the differences?
Well, the biggest difference is that in our show, Edda was bit by a werewolf, so she is now an elf werewolf barbarian. And she had puppies with the Rocketeer.
Now, I think that's the kind of thing that needs clarification. Those are just words you put together. Now let's make them make some sense.
Okay.
Let's take that gold and shift it and make
so
it.
So when you say she had puppies with the Rocketeer, you're not referencing the Oasis song, She Had Puppies with the Rocketeer.
I am not.
I love that song. It's one of those Noel ones.
Yeah, no, Billy Campbell, who played the Rocketeer, showed up at one of our shows and wanted to come up on stage, so we created a character.
He didn't just
for him.
Wander
well,
up
wander
yeah,
he
wearing his in. Full Rocketeer
he
outfit.
He flew in.
He had a bottle in a bag.
Running from Timothy Dalton.
A lot of people don't know that actually worked. The Rocketeer outfit
yeah,
worked.
Yeah, it was.
That's Disney bucks, though,
that was,
baby.
It was a documentary. But no, he actually he was interested in doing the show. So we made a character for him, and he showed up. And at the end of the show, our bard, Brask Hellbeard, played a song, and Edda and Billy Campbell, the Rocketeer, went behind a blanket and came out with a pair of adorable puppy dogs.
But they did it doggy style.
Nobody knows.
Oh, okay.
Well,
it's puppies.
Well, you
involved.
Will now, because I've got some pornographic playing cards. I've got some things on. Now, the funny thing about
memories.
That was when we were asking, it's nice to have you here, Billy Campbell, also from The Killing. Nice to see you, sir. But he was telling us the reason he wanted to do it was he started his acting career improvising in a medieval show.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the first thing he ever did was medieval improv. And he went, I'm into this. And he was completely game.
Yeah, it was crazy having the Rocketeer on stage with us.
Was that the gay medieval show, Fruit Loots?
Okay. Just apologize to everyone for that.
I'm not apologizing.
Okay, fair enough. Just put a nickel in the hate crime jar.
I'll do that
and
later.
And make sure we're not getting tribunaled after this, okay? We're not going to be having that. Dear Lord Almighty. Now, were you guys ever part of the Society for Creative Anachronism or Renaissance Fairs or that kind of business? Did you ever do that kind of thing?
I didn't.
No. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. All right. This is folks that enjoy dressing up and that kind of thing. And they...
I want to say Pia was...
My wife Pia was one of them.
Was
yes,
SCA,
that's right.
Yeah,
she was in the SCA.
We talked about sword fighting one day. And she
that's right.
It, yeah.
And some people get way too into it. And you can work your way up to be like knights and that kind of thing. And the people who are knights are very, very snobby. Not paladin level snobby. But they are actually pretty, pretty snobby about it.
And now if their character dies, will they murder everyone around them? Because I think I see where this is going. Satanism.
Yes. Did you see the show with Tom Hanks in it, where he's in the CSA, and he goes crazy and ends up with the Twin Towers? See that one? It's a pretty good show.
Wake up, man! It's all connected. So, The Lord of the Rings, Twin Towers. It all makes sense. It all links together. So, now... What was the Satan connection, though, back in the day to all this? Like, what did...
People were having fun.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
Okay.
The Monster Manual had demons in it, and some idiot took it too far. You know, it's like, I guess it was the 70s version of Frederick Wortham.
Okay, and why don't you explain who Frederick Wortham was?
Frederick Wortham told people that comic books led to children murdering people. So they burned a bunch of them, and now they're worth a lot of money.
That's true.
I always thought Frederick Wortham's plan was that, which is like, hey, you know what are horrible, these Batman comic books? Store them away. What I'd say you should do is burn them all.
That's right. He changed his name to Richard Overstreet.
Yeah, anytime I see someone like burning Beatles albums or anything, I'm just like, they got a bunch in the closet back there, man, and they're just waiting a couple of years, and boom, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
What are people banning nowadays?
Video games.
Video games?
Video games.
Video games.
What's the big ones? What's the banners? Like, I know Australia, for sure, like, says no violence to nothing, and they won't let nothing.
No sex, if there's any sex in a video game.
Oh, right, like your hot coffee, yeah. Like slipping a little
if anyone's, sex in there. If anyone's giving someone playing cards in a video game.
Well, people were really upset about Mass Effect because you could have a same-sex relationship.
Oh, really?
Did people actually get upset about Mass Effect?
Yeah, they were like, it's alien porn. Dude, that's not alien porn. That is not alien
well,
porn.
Well, now, let me ask you this question, speaking of alien pornography. Here's a trading card. Now, in that, like, I remember I played, like, a Star Wars game that was, like, a role-playing game, a video game, and they had the same thing where you could have a same-sex relationship in that. But the same-sex relationship in the Star Wars game was, if you play it for basically 60 hours, at one point, you give each other a little nod and a look, and then you walk the other way, and that was it.
I thought it was two Ewoks getting it on.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know if they were same-sex or not.
That's true.
I think the end of Act 2 of each Mass Effect game... there's a sex scene, like full on. Yeah.
It's a lot of the first one. You know, I've played through all three several times. The first one is
what's the most sexy of them.
The rest of them, everybody's clothed and there's a bit of rolling around, and then you cut away. But the first one gets very steamy.
And the third one is the one that has the sex scene that upsets everybody, and they had to go back and do some downloadable content and redo the sex scene.
Yes, yeah, so you can pick the orange or the green. I think that's what it
Yeah.
We know. Do you know Mark Meer, who's a Commander Shepard?
Yes.
He's one of two Commander Shepards. There's of course the Lady Commander Shepard as well. When you play through, do you play as the fella or do you play through as the lady? Or because you played multiple times?
I've done both.
Interesting. how which do you prefer?
Oh man, I don't know. They're both very talented.
Can I just say that's called byplay?
I do tend. And actually, this Mark told me this when I first mentioned, like, hey, you great job as Commander Shepard. He was like, try to Jennifer Hill. Is it Jennifer Hill?
Yeah, Jennifer Hill.
As the female. He's like, well, if you're gonna play Renegade as the female, because Jennifer Hill does a great badass Commander Shepard. So. I usually play, if I'm a good guy, I'm a man. If I'm a bad guy, I'm a lady, which
that's sad.
Makes me a terrible person, maybe, but I don't know.
No, because you are playing a woman as a strong and powerful badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Renegade, not evil. Yeah,
it's Renegade. Right. She's a Renegade.
It's also called Alone Time.
Now, back to the Critical Hit show.
Yes.
What is generally happening in the world of Critical Hit right now, and what is coming up in the next little while?
Okay, folks, how many people here have seen the Critical Hit show? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, hello.
Nice.
And how many people like come to it regularly and know that there is actually an ongoing storyline? You guys up there. Okay, cool. the most recent development, of course, has been Brask over the last year has gone from being a fighter to be. You're
yeah,
Brask.
Why don't you describe you what this. Your character is?
You do this, because this is about you.
This is your time to shine, buddy.
All right, well, I became a bard, or Brask became a bard. I mean, I'm not Brask. If I proclaim myself to be Brask,
wait a second,
that's
Sean,
where I start
Sean,
killing people.
Sean, could we talk to Brask for a little while?
All right. I became a bard.
Wow, it was like he was here.
Oh, great, Brask when is you, a pirate now.
Brask, when you get to heaven, what do you...
Inside the Critical Hit studio.
So I became a bard, which based on a... Being that it's an improvised show, you know, things just come out, and I happened to mention just off the cuff that my parents would be very upset if they found out that I'd gone bard. And... So this has turned into a thing at the end of the last show. A representative from Brask's home mountain of Mount Dwarf came in and summoned Brask to a tribunal where he would be facing the charges of being a dwarf bard.
Nice. So is that like they're very anti-bard? Is that the way that goes?
Well, I mean, they're a fighting people. And
not a singing people.
Not a singing people.
You know what's weird? This is a lot like the subplot in that Tom Hanks D&D movie.
Oh no, you're thinking of Philadelphia.
sorry.
I thought it sounded similar to the Fraggle Rock. You got the singers and you got the builders, and never the twain shall meet. I'll eat your structure, but I will not celebrate with you.
What's Fraggle Rock? Go on.
I gotta go.
So that's your big character thing. As we've said, another character has turned from barbarian to barbarian werewolf.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have an on-again, off-again love affair going on between our wizard.
Yep.
And
our thief.
Right.
Grima Windwards, the thief, and of course, everybody's favorite tavern owner, Spitz Lubin.
Yes.
Owner of the Spitz and Ass.
Gets more uncomfortable every show.
That's how we felt about it, too. He named it.
But enough about the characters who are on the stage in the show. I think the biggest scoop lately is the upcoming marriage of the beloved Mayor Funch. And I only mention it because I love Mayor Funch so much.
Yeah, oh no, he's a beloved character. He is definitely a beloved character. Now, he is what we call a unseen character.
He's an NPC, so he's voiced by the Dungeon Master, myself. I do a very poor Dr. Zaius impersonation. Mm-hmm. In fact,
Eric has 5 quality voices he uses every show, and 2 that are iffy.
Yeah, that's about it. I do my best so that I can remember each character if they ever need to come back. I do like bad impersonations of characters, so I know this character, oh, that's the Sean Connery character, or that's Carla Connor from Coronation Street. my girlfriend is addicted to Coronation Street, which means I watch every episode.
Lucky you.
Dude, she's right there. I love the show, okay? She's right there.
Isn't it weird? Like, now, is the guy who plays Lister still on that show?
Yes.
Craig Charles in charge? Yeah, is he still in charge? Okay. And, okay, here's my question about, Coronation Street. Let me just tangent. That's what we do on our show. When Ian McKellen was on the show, what was that about?
When was he on the show?
He used to guest on the show. Yeah, what was his deal? He was just an old man that came in, and what was he about?
I think he was a con artist or something, but I don't know.
A guy pretending to be Gandalf or some such?
Yeah, he would come in with his magnetic powers. And he'd be like, I'd like a pint, please.
This VHS tape doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly
I would like my money back.
Laura only started watching Coronation Street about 18 months ago.
Oh, post Ian McKellen. Okay, all right.
Post McKellen.
Yeah. So what was going on then on Coronation Street when James Franco made an appearance? That was
he was trapped under the Rover's Return pub, and he had to cut off his own arm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a grim episode.
And then Seth Rogen smoked it.
Nice. So Ian, wait a second, let's just go back to Critical Hit for a second.
No, let's go back to Fruit Loots.
That was a perfectly acceptable dumb joke.
Follow your nose.
You are in the Critical Hit show.
I am. That's
and
true.
What big changes has your character gone through?
Mine has gone through nothing, but I'd like.
Well,
to
really, so you've really like stretched.
That's right.
On the
show, you know what? You need
yours. You
need
were
the constant. You know this mathematically.
It's marketing 101.
You need the constant to make everything else make sense, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Your character, you were a doppelganger a couple shows ago.
That's true. I was kidnapped. I was taken to some sort of fire swamp. I seem to remember there was fire around me.
And then when you played the doppelganger character, you were a real jerk.
You were a real paladin.
Yeah. It was fun, actually, because I actively was trying to kill all of my friends on stage. And I there was nothing I could do as an improviser. I've got a yes and your offer that I'm evil. And so it's time for some murdering. Now, we have a fellow in the audience who's also been on the show a couple of times.
And he's going to be on the show tonight.
Yep, Brian Anderson. And he was the first fella who doppelgangered us, right?
That's right. He played...
you can see pictures of that in these cards that Eric's going to hand out.
He totally doppelgangered us.
That's the comedy of 6, by the way.
Yeah. That card. Right
there. By the time it's 7, it's going to get hilarious again.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Don't worry about it. But he played a very friendly wizard named Kesef, who then it turned out that he was the big villain that we'd been building up to all year.
That was shocking.
That was shocking.
I was there for that.
That suddenly a 6th member of the party shows up and everybody likes him, and then all of a sudden he's the villain. And he took everybody out, and it was pretty cool. But then we ran into the real guy who the villain was impersonating. So now there's a real Kesef who's a likable, fun, excellent magician wizard type.
Who I still do not trust as my character.
That's good. Oh, and I do actually have something for you. I'm gonna say it here, because I'm gonna ask you a question. Don't answer it now.
Okay.
I don't want to know the answer until you tell me during a show.
Okay.
You're half elf.
Cake.
Yes.
The answer is cake.
You're half elf, right?
Yes, I am.
We've never specified what the non-elf half is.
Okay.
I will leave that to you.
All right, fair enough. I also have something that I would like to do in the show, and I'll tell you a character change I'd like to. I used to worship a character called Super Jesus.
That's right, Jesus.
That's who I worship.
Who I saw actually outside. I asked him to come to the show.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Well, here's a weird thing. I am actually going to change my character a little bit. I'm going to worship something different in the next little while.
Excellent.
All right, so I'm just going to let you know. I'm changing my the thing that I worship as a cleric.
Aqua Jesus.
It's a thing called a spoiler, Sean.
It's okay. Just a suggestion. Look, you don't have to take the first one I say.
Yeah.
No, that would be cool, though, Aqua Jesus. What would the difference between regular Jesus and Aqua Jesus be?
Well, he walks upside down under
the water. Under the water. He died for our fins. That's how you do a fin joke, motherfucker. That's how you do it. Anyway, sorry. Sorry. I got to not gloat after a joke works. Now I just want to ask you one question about the show. As someone who's inside the show and looking, mm-hmm. Now you got the lovers, right? The will they, won't they kind of situation going on. Now, do you control whether or not they will get together or not? Or do you watch what happens as they improvise, go, this is how it's going to play out? And, because you are basically in this, you are God. Now, are you God? Are you Old Testament God? Where you'll actually stick your hand in and mess things up? Or are you New Testament God just standing back and just lightly pushing things around?
I'm a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I try to stay out of the character stuff because that's you guys. You guys are excellent world-class performers.
Right.
And you know what you're doing. I'm more of a plot-driven God.
You're like Milton's God.
Yeah. Milton Friedman.
Do we have any Milton lovers here? Milton lovers in the house.
Milton Friedman, the economist.
I love that guy.
Everybody?
Apparently he's hung. Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong Milton. Okay.
Were you thinking of Milton Bradley?
I was thinking of Milton Berle.
I was thinking Little Milton, the blues singer.
What?
Grits Ain't Groceries? Come on, people.
You win the obscure off. Milton. Well,
Milton. And the guy cosplaying as Milton from Office Space leaves crying.
To burn down the building. The stapler, please.
Sorry, I'm making a fire sound here. I'm going to turn this over. I want to get at least two questions from the audience because we never get to have questions. Now, normally people will not ask questions, so I'm going to bribe the audience for asking questions. If they ask a question,
we have
$50. I'm
going to
give you.
Oh, sorry.
It was actually one of my favorite comics that we've ever done. Me and Nina Matsumoto did this comic for Simpsons Super Spectacular, where we took Bartman and we did a thing called Bart Manga, where we had it all done with all the different anime manga characters that we could shove in there. So this is Nina Matsumoto, a good friend of mine, and I've got two copies here. And for any question that's asked, I will give you one of the two comics. Does anyone here have a question about, here's the thing, you could ask a question about Critical Hit Show, you could ask a question about Charles in Charge, or that Milton guy that Dave just brought up.
Grits Ain't Groceries.
Does anybody have a question, raise your hand, and you will get something free.
Eggs Ain't Poultry.
I'm going to go to this gentleman, and here we go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Talk while I do this.
All right, Ian's walking out to the audience. Eric, do you have anything to say? No, of course not.
It's so hard to
fill time because you feel awkward.
I do have something to say.
Okay. Oh. You can plug Space Cap.
Well, actually, I was going to plug the Critical Hit Show at the Rio Theater the last Wednesday of every month.
Well, that brings up...
What time does it start at, Eric?
Doors at 7, show at 8.
How much does it cost, actually, if you come there?
I don't know. I never have to pay to get in. No, it's under 10 bucks at the door. It's less than 10 bucks at the door, and you save a couple bucks if you buy in advance. Was
so
that 6
so
and 9?
6 and 8.
6 and 8?
Seven and nine.
Seven, yeah, that, yeah, it's that
character. Do I hear 10 and 11? Do
it's,
I?
It's that board, it's that board character played by Jenny.
So
seven and nine, trust me.
Seven and
seven
nine.
Nine.
Okay, what's
the
question?
Now, the question was, is there any chance Critical Hit will play more often than once a month?
Well, that is a really good question because it would be hard to maintain such a big audience. We're usually at about 250 people now. And it would also be really hard on me because I basically have to outline what is essentially an adventure movie once a month. And I think doing it once a month would keep, say, I don't know, people from just walking out three quarters of the way through.
Bye.
Have a good night.
It's fine.
No, I don't blame them. It's fine. No, have a good night. It's fine. Yeah, no, it's all good. They
well, the other problem would be on the other Wednesdays, there's other shows.
There's great shows
and
happening.
And you're one of them.
Yes, that's right. The second Wednesday of every month, Sean and I do a show called The Gentleman Hecklers. It's movie riffing. We do with Patrick Maliha. We provide live commentary for terrible movies. There's also the first Wednesday of the month, there's a show called The Serial Killers, which is Ian Boothby.
And we dub over old 1940s serials, cartoons, and industrial movies. And yeah, we make fun of those. And then there's whatever Wednesday is remaining. There is Improv Against Humanity based on the Cards Against Humanity game. So every Wednesday at the Rio Theater, there's some alternative weird, we like to call it like a, I don't say alternative, but indie comedy.
I like the term indie comedy. Yeah,
yeah, it's because it's independent. It's also comedy that's too big for most rooms, local rooms in town. And yeah, it's just a big fun place to watch some comedy. So I've got, we're almost wrapping up. I got room for one more question and one more free comic. Oh, and I'm going to go get this. You know, while I'm gone, talk about what you like best about me.
What I like best about Ian is when he leaves and goes
while
in the
while he's walking
audience.
Away, it's hard not to mention his ass. I mean, look at that.
Actually, I'm going to say right now that Ian Boothby got me into comedy. In 2003, I went to Comic-Con, and I snuck into the Eisner Awards, and so did Ian, even though he was working for Bongo Comics, he was writing there. And I said, I want to be a writer. He said, take an improv course. And that's how I got into comedy, so this is your fault.
One of my favorite things about that was we were kind of in the slum area that was in the back. It was like there was the fancy tables that was in the front, and we were in the slum area, and I'm sitting with you, and we're having a good time. And then a guy comes up to me and goes, oh, Ian, you shouldn't be here. We've got a table for you up front. And I just went, so long, suckers. Actually, and I never saw you for the rest of the night.
You know what you said? You said, oh, I've got a table now with the Bongo people, so fuck you. That's exactly how you said it. And I thought, I like that man.
So we have a question from the young woman over here. We just did a video recap of our show, our first video recap we've ever done. Will we be doing any more? Okay, nods don't work on an audio podcast.
That will work. That will work beautifully on the video recap, though.
That will. So yeah, the answer is yes.
We'll be doing that kind of thing. I think we're all on board with doing that.
Yeah, it was fun. We all gathered around at Sean's place, and he had a full replica of, not replica, you had the full game of Fireball Island. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, you ever played Fireball?
For those of you who are fans of Charles in Charge, you may also remember Fireball Island, which was awesome.
Is that related to Fireball Whiskey? What the?
Yes.
Fireball, it was like the big, you know, in like 1980-something, it was the big thing that every commercial during afternoon TV shows was. And so I insisted that I had to have that for Christmas, and it's like a 3D board game. There's fireballs in it, so there's marbles that you knock around, and it knocks
the little guy in a hat off. Yeah, the thing was Raiders of the Lost Ark had just come out, and they went, "What do people like the best about Raiders of the Lost Ark?"
Marbles.
Marbles, giant balls, and they went like, "Hey, how about we have like about six balls?" And boom, that was the game. It was all running from balls.
Yeah.
And I wish some of the later movies had just been that. In the Raiders.
Yeah, that last one could have had Shia LaBeouf in it, and that would have been great. Instead of that douchebag.
And I got made fun of.
Well, if you,
go ahead.
No, nothing. No,
okay. If you wanted more of that, then I highly recommend the other thing that I really loved in that era was the movie UHF, which has an extended sequence at the beginning of Weird Al getting chased around by the ball, just internationally. Yeah. So
that is worth watching. Yes, for sure.
It's, I think it's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix.
It is. Yes.
That's why I said that.
So thank you for coming down to Classic Movie and Television Roundup. we talk about our favorite films from the 70s and 80s.
Next week, Space 1999.
Never liked it.
No, it's boring. I put it on. We put it on the other night to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But awesome theme song.
Yeah,
they have an unlimited amount of crew to die on that show. Like, isn't it like kind of remote? Like the space station gets cut off from the rest of the space station, so there's like a limited amount of people on it.
Yeah.
But an unlimited number of people who can die from exploding machinery and fly in the air.
Well, they pick up hitchhikers every week, which you don't see.
Yeah, Brian Blessed did one, Peter Cushing did one, Christopher Lee did one. I mean, amazing guest stars. Okay, here's the idea for the show, okay?
You've got 2 minutes,
okay,
go.
There's a space station on the moon, then there's an explosion on the moon, and the moon flies out into space.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a second, Eric, are there shapeshifters in this thing?
Yeah, there's a shapeshifter. I remember there was a lady, she had like sideburns.
She had full-on sideburns.
That was the one thing she couldn't shapeshift. It was her facial hair.
She had like full-on like Mr. Chekhov pointy sideburns.
It was a British show, and it was created by the same people who did Thunderbirds Argo and Fireball XL5. And the actors on Space 1999 had the same facial expressions as the marionettes from, you know, Thunderbirds Argo and everything. It was the most wooden, terribly directed, conceived, performed. What's the other word I'm looking for? Fucked up?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the one we watched last night had, what was his name? Al Swearengen on it.
That sounds like a made-up name, but okay, yeah. Keep going.
Ian McShane.
Yeah. Actually, Al Swearengen was a historical figure. Okay. But yeah, Ian McShane was on it, playing this like slacker.
Don't you mean engineer. Lovejoy?
Yeah, actually, that was what I said. I said, is that Lovejoy? And I called it just from seeing the back of his head. I go, that's Lovejoy.
That's right. Wow. You can spot any celebrity from the back of their head.
It's true.
That is your mutant ability.
Yeah.
All right.
Not like Colossus back there. See? All new, all different.
By the way, I've heard you you may be coming back in the next movie in a big way. I'm just saying that on the sly, I just heard something today that there's some good Colossus in the next film. Anyway, that's not for nothing. Okay, we're now going to do...
He comes back as a colostomy.
So we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to get to the Critical Hit Show in just a couple of minutes, as soon as Ian recovers from a mini stroke because of that pun.
Jesus, Lord Almighty. Those of you listening on the internet, thank you very much for your patience while we went through this. Those of you here, thank you very much for your patience. And those of you seeing this live, we're going to be coming right back with a little Critical Hit. Those of you that are not, turn off this podcast and do your cool down. You're probably on a treadmill while you're doing this. That's where most of you listen to this. Go relax, have a glass of water, and have a lovely day. It's been Sneaky Dragon. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
Eric Fell.
And I'm Sean Stewart.
Hope you come down and see the Critical Hit Show. Thanks for everyone here and everyone here. And once again, if we clap, this ends well. Yay!
Goodbye, everyone.
All right, so just give us a couple minutes to set up, and we're going to come in right with a special Critical Hit Show. So stick around.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Dave. How are we? Good? Good enough? That's what we're striving for. Good enough?
Senator, I did not sleep with that goat.